Okay.
All right, good afternoon. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Yak School Board of Trustees. It's March 19, 2025 at 3:45 p.m. Due and lawful notice of this meeting was had as required by law. We'll call a meeting to order and recognize our visitors. Hi, y'all. Everybody had a chance to sign in. And yes, and we have had the recording of the February 19th meeting is posted to the Yak School website, pursuant to our local policy 1420 on February 25, 2025. We follow Robert's Rules of Order as our guideline. Remember to be respectful of each other and others' rights of privacy. Everyone will be accorded an opportunity to make a public comment, both prior to the board taking a vote on any item on the agenda and at the conclusion of the meeting. No action can be taken on any matter brought up during public comment at the conclusion of the meeting until the following board meeting. All right, we'll start out with maintenance report. We can kind of combine the maintenance report with the action item list. I'll make the report for the action items that I have. True Value Paint Grant, I submitted that to True Value. It was an email format, and hopefully we'll get a grant of 20 gallons of paint, and we didn't have to specify the shade or the color yet, just that we were participating in the grant. The water leak in the pressure room this past week, Artie and I talked about it 3 weeks ago and scheduled that for work during the spring break, which is going on now. Already purchased the items that might be necessary for repairing the pipe. There was a leak from the pressure tank and where it communicated into the filter valve, the filter, and he has fixed that. Took minimal work and effort as far as material. His labor, you know, it took a while to take that apart. He is taking the items that he purchased back for credit at the store at Ace, except for two valves, because when it was installed, we didn't have the shutoff valves coming and going. So he saved those, and they're in the pressure tank room. That'll be slated for this summer. We'll put that down as a summer maintenance list item to put on the valves.
His bill is this date.
Okay, very good. And that's all I have as far as the maintenance work so far. We have the technology report.
Yeah, Diane reminded me we have to schedule a meeting with Sabray before the end of the month to update additional Google services, update permissions anyway, for the users under the age 18, or else those programs will end. So we have to get those updated, so we'll be doing that.
They don't end, the kids can't access them, Google Maps, right. Stuff like that.
Okay. Curriculum committee.
We did not have a meeting today because it is spring break, but we will schedule a meeting and everybody will get a message saying when it's going to be.
And while you're
the minutes are available on the school's website from last month's meeting.
Mm-hmm. While we're at it, Pam, you're on the fundraising committee.
We are scheduling for a meeting for everybody who's going to help. And the date isn't set yet, but it will be soon. And the fundraising event is going to be here on the school grounds on July 5th. So mark your calendars and come.
Okay. That's it. Very good. And that'll take care of our continuing business, old business.
Wait, whoop. Did you cover everything that on the action item list?
No, the IEFA funds.
Yep, someone needs to remind the teacher that this money needs to be spent.
I will, and I have done that. I will do that again.
Okay. Is that it? That needs to be. I would like to kind of touch base real quick.
Sure.
About the shelving in the container. Should we consider getting that ordered and getting it here so that when school ends, we can jump right in?
Yes.
To that project?
I was working on that, and we looked at that one. There was a Facebook offering, and that was out of state to get it. And somebody would have had to travel and go do it. For the same price as you can purchase and have it delivered. So in looking at Amazon for what we're looking at is 2 foot deep and 6 foot high, 5 shelves, and they're 6 foot wide for $159 on Amazon. There are several companies offer the same thing, and quite frankly, I haven't. It sounds kind of foolish to say. I haven't had time to do it, but I really haven't because my wife was. I've been tending to my wife ever since she came down sick a week and a half ago. So
would you like the clerk to take over the responsibility if you send your what you think is the best buy to the clerk? Then I can go ahead and go forward with getting those ordered and getting them here by the end of the school year.
Yes.
If you would like to do that.
Yes, Bill.
Did you check with Jim Hammond?
As a matter of fact, I was down there and trying to do that, and I was unable to get in. So I haven't checked with him.
If you need the number, I've got his number. Okay. Give him a call and find
out. Why don't you give me the number, hon?
Okay, I don't have it on you.
Could you email it to me?
Sure.
And I'll call Jim and see if there is anything available in their salvage.
That's right.
Okay.
They got warehouses full of it.
Perfect.
And Dave, what are you planning to store on these shelves?
Old curriculum items and items out in the container building. They're in totes. Most all of them are in totes.
How much weight are we talking about?
The one, I don't know.
The reason I'm asking is I've done this myself.
Some of those.
If you go too far this way and add a lot of weight, you end up with a shelf that looks like...
The ones I was looking at were rated for 3,000 pounds. That'd be 1,500.
Or total?
Total. And each tote, I've carried each tote.
Okay.
At least twice, which is why we're trying to get them up off the floor.
Got
what we're trying to accomplish is... They're kind of, we have them in by grade level on one side, and then there's a lot of other stuff that's in there. We had scheduled sometime after school is out to empty out the container building and put the surplus items that belong to the school out for... dissemination, at least get them, you know.
Things that we can't use anymore. Give back to the public if they want them. Mm-hmm.
Since it was paid for by public funds, just let people come get it. Because some of it's of negligible salvage value as far as trying to sell it and make it go. And if we're just trying to create room. It's like spring cleaning. And the idea was to do it during the art fair here because then we have a lot of people, like, oh, hey, I could use that. And then
we could
then
ask for donations.
Then the problem of which, you know, who do we give to, you know, passing it around amongst the various places here in town.
How many of those shelves do you need?
Full length both sides? Yeah, we're going to try to do if we can afford it. Mm-hmm.
You figure by 6 foot, the ones I looked at were 6 foot, and for $159.
Talking about $1,800-$1,900 to do both sides?
Probably.
And we have funds that were budgeted for this year in our general fund that actually haven't been spent and won't be spent because those events aren't happening. Like, our clerk isn't going to be going to the summer conference. That was a couple of $1,000s that we had budgeted that won't be used. So there'll be extra at the end of the year that we could actually just
probably
purchase.
Slip in a laptop computer, too.
Whatever we can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're on to old business then, school accreditation process. Pam.
Yes. It is done. It was done in good time before the deadline of the 28th. Accreditation this year, there were, I think, 9 standards last year, and 3 of those standards she didn't get perfect scores on. So she went back and gave them more information on those 3 standards. We'll see what they say this year. Then, in addition to the original 9 standards, there were 9 new standards that needed to be done. But she worked through those in good time. She had the information that she needed and had the help that she needed. And so that all got done, and it's finished. So we'll see what they have to say.
Good deal. All right.
Okay.
All right. The 2025 trustee election.
Okay, we are in the heat of things just prior to certifying our ballot, which is very important part of the election. Today we'll be looking at deciding on levy amounts and issues like that. I sent in the mail ballot plan to the state, both elections, because you have there's a separate election for levies and for trustees. So 2 plans went and were both approved by the state. So then we're on to a notice of regular close of registration, which was the 10th of March. The deadline for amending my ballot is any ballots that we have is April 1st. Last day for candidates to withdraw from the election is April 3rd. Deadline for write-in candidates is April 3rd at 5 p.m. Deadline, election administrator certifies the ballot on the 4th. So I have about a week and a half before things will be etched in stone. At this time, we still do not have any declarations of intent to run. If in fact by the deadline for write-in candidates at 5 p.m. on April 3rd no one has shown an interest and filled out the intent to be a candidate form, then the one after the election, the election will be called by acclamation. That election will, because I don't have any candidates. Then the one sitting person that would be left, which will be your vice chair, Pam, then has 60 days to appoint 2 people from the community. We go through the process like we did when we appointed Ken, when they appointed Ken, where we broadcast that we have 2 seats open, we're looking for people who would be interested, then we appoint them, 2 people to take those seats. Okay. It's kind of scary, but hey, it is what it is. It's a hard job and it's a thankless job. But it's something that you pretty much got to really love the school and the community and want things to be better or whatever to take that step. And I know it's a big one, but I would, but I can't because I'm paid by the school and you can't be a trustee and be paid by the school. So I can't.
You did not announce the date that candidates need to...
March 27th is the deadline to be on the ballot, is March 27th.
27th or 28th?
27th, okay. Yeah. And it runs, it's by how we close this clerk's office, so you need to be here, unless you're going to call the clerk at home, or call me at home, before 8 o'clock at night, okay? If I'm not here and you decide on the 27th, that you want to fill out the form, you can call me at home and I will come up here and meet you. So, I will be posting the official election notice in the newspaper, and we will go forward from there. The ballots will be mailed on April 16th. It is. So that's where the election stands at this point in time.
Any questions? Comments?
Did I see
Go ahead.
Did I see something about election judge training?
Yes. I am going to be running, or actually the school is sponsoring an election judge training tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. This is... The only reason we have to having to do this is because school elections judges must be within our district boundaries. At this point in time, we only have two people in our inside our district that legally are election judges and are registered with the county, and they cannot judge this election because one of them sits on the board and the other one is married to someone who sits on the board. So they can't be election judges.
Barry Loney isn't on anymore?
No. No. So, but I've gotten a great response. I think I have six, maybe more people who are coming. And right on, Dave and Cindy are two certified election judges for this district, are actually going to do the training. Takes about an hour and a half to go through the slides, and then there's a quiz at the end. And then if you pass the quiz, then you are officially certified and you are sworn in. Then I have a pool of people that I can call on. I only need three. And your certification is good for two election cycles, and then you have to redo the thing again. So I think going forward, depending on what the board chooses to do as far as next year's election, because I spoke with the election, Melanie Howell, the election administrator at the county level, and there's only two schools in Lincoln County that do their own elections, and the price has gone way down for the county to run the elections. In fact, she can do this school for about $400, which is only just $40 more than what we budget in our budget for the clerk to do it. And that would be one thing off of the clerk's plate. She wouldn't have to worry about it, and it just would. And because I don't put my time as specifically the time that I spend on election issues, so in actuality, it would probably be beneficial and cost us less to have the county run our elections going forward. And it's just one less thing that the district clerk has to worry about.
Is that a paid position?
Pardon?
Paid position?
What? The judges? Yes. Yeah. I pay my judges $20 an hour to come. And it's simple. You have to be here at like 7:30 because poll closes at 8 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, then we start the process of counting.
It's easier than certifying. Doing the regular.
It's much easier
judge
up here
thing because
than
if
down
you
there.
Go to Troy, you got to get there at 6 a.m.
Yeah, and it's a lot more intense.
We get home at 11 p.m., so.
Yeah, and it's a lot more intense because people are coming and voting in person. You have to go do all the things of going through the list and handing them their ballot and checking their name off and then certifying their ballot when it comes back and stamping it. I mean, there's a lot more involved than here.
So this training is just the school election judges, you would be
trained completely and be able to be called by the county to work our precinct down in Troy, or anywhere actually, because you can be judge outside of your precinct if it's a county election or a state or federal election, just not a school election. You have to be within your precinct or district, whatever you want to call
that, that way. And we're doing the training here instead of everybody having to drive down to Libby and take training down there. And Cindy and I have done the training several times, and it's not that hard. It's not a bad gig. And it does.
And it lets you check the box of civic duty.
Yep, you do your civic duty and get a little bang for your buck. Get a little buck.
And you get paid. I don't know what the county paid. Yeah, you get paid for it. Yeah, I don't know what the county pays, but I know the school pays $20 an hour for our elections.
Okay. I guess.
And that's all I have on elections.
Okay. Now we move on to old business, the district clerk position. We had a public interview March 3rd of Ms. Shelton, who has applied, and she's indicated her willingness to strive with us here. Is that right? Okay, and she's here with us today. Do we have a motion or?
Now? Sure. Okay. I move that we hire Sharon Shelton to be our district clerk.
I second that.
Well, I'll concur. We'll need to work out a contract with her.
Yes.
And
you're sworn in.
Okay. Do you want an official, do one of you want me to, or do one of you want to write an official letter that can go in her file and say that she's been offered the position?
I can.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can just send it as an email, and then I can just print it, and you can put it in her file. Just to make it official. Since you've been offered the job, I would like to know when you would like to start. And I would also like to know what days you, at this point, until the election's over, sweetie, you really do need to work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, because that's what is officially on all of the stuff that's out there for people to come into the office. And we also, later down the road here, and in a few minutes, we are going to assign you the deputy election administrator. So you will take over election duties in my absence. If I'm not here and someone wants to turn in a ballot, then you will be fully trained to know how to accept that ballot and log it in and everything like that. Or
which is different from the judge training?
It's totally different.
Okay.
Yeah. We do a lot with the mail ballot elections as far as bringing the ballots in and securing them before they are counted. It's after the polls close that the judge portion takes place that they start counting. But there are things we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to verify signatures.
Okay.
So can you come in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays? And when can you start?
I don't know. I need to take it all in.
Okay.
Thank you for the offer. I really appreciate it very much and look forward to the letter and an official offer so that I can review it before I commit here today.
Okay. But when you answer to that letter, it would be really great if you can tell them when you can start.
Yeah, and I have the dates down here, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is what I prefer.
Well, Well, that's where what everything is posted as the availability of the clerk. Once after the ballots are mailed, that's the most important, is that there is someone here when someone knocks on that door that can accept those,
okay,
officially accept the ballots. Because this is the place that if they're not going to mail them, they can drop them off here. Okay.
All right. Now we'll move on to new business, resolutions of intent to impose a permissive tuition levy.
Okay, everybody that has come to the meetings previously knows that the state now requires any school who has a student that does not go to school, that goes to school outside of their district, the district of residents have to pay tuition. It never used to be this way. They passed the law last year. My son went for all the years, didn't ever pay 1 cent of tuition and went down to Libby. That's the way it always was. But then now they've changed the law. Now schools have to pay if your we had two students who went out of district last year. So up on the board, you will see that we will owe McCormick once we get the bill, as they will bill us in December, $3,728.22 for tuition for our two students who went to school at McCormick. Okay, so we will be imposing a non-voted levy to raise that $3,728.22, and it will be 2.78 mils, as you can see, the increase in the mils. Then it goes out and tells you for estimated impact on $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, and $600,000 homes. Okay, so you can read all that, what that is.
Maybe you can.
Oh, you can't read it? I can read it to you.
Thank you.
Do you need me to read it to you?
I was going to say.
Okay, sorry.
With binoculars, I can see.
There you go.
So, $3.75 increase for or impact on a $100,000 home. $200,000 home is $7.51. A $300,000 home, $11.26. And a $600,000 home is $22.52. And I will read the resolution, and then the vote, and then the board can approve. Resolution of intent to impose an increase in levies. As an essential part of its budgeting process, the Yak School Board of Trustees is authorized by law to impose levies to support its budget. The Yak Board of Trustees estimates the following increases in revenues and mills for the funds noted below for the next school fiscal year beginning July 1 of 2025 using certified taxable value from this year, okay, for our district. Keep in mind, it says impacts are based on current year certified taxable value, but we will, once this goes into effect, we will use next year's values, which are not available until May. So this number will change a little bit, but the law requires that we post this now, so we are allowed to use last year's numbers, or this year's numbers instead of next year's. Regarding the increase in tuition fund levy referenced above, these funds raised will go to pay tuition fees for two district children who attended school outside of our district in the 24-25 school year. Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept this resolution to impose this levy.
Is there a second? I concur. Basically, the gist is for your valuation of your home, it's $3.75 per $100,000 of value. So if your home's worth $1 million, that's 10 times, that's 10,000, 10 times 100,000, so it's 10 times the $3.75 or $37.50. And that's because we're having to pay McCormick School.
There's no The county doesn't pick up any of that since they're not paying for the kids to be here?
Nope.
No. That's why they worked it.
Yeah, so when you're at the end of the road, you're out of luck. Nobody's coming up here.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, I don't know. There were children in the past that came here.
Yeah.
The Canavan's grandkids came here for a few years because their daughter thought this school was better than peanut butter and jelly, and she wanted them to go here. So she drove them up here.
We had some move in and to attend. We had one.
My grandson moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's another.
Yep.
Because the
quality of the education here is bar none the best in the state, in my opinion.
Education
is.
Where else do you get to go to say that I grew up in a one-room schoolhouse?
And or this is like having a private tutor, really. I mean, the numbers are so low. When you think of a classroom with 32 children in it in one grade, and then you come here and you have a one-on-one for four grades.
My son teaches in Tulsa. They have about 30 students per room, and they swap every hour. Gets a new crew coming in, and he also does the helping kids get caught up in certain areas.
Remedial, they call it.
That's it. And he does that, and he speaks a little Spanish and a little Chinese, so that helps him in an urban school. But we look at it, we have 5 students, and the time is 1 teacher to 5 student ratio, as opposed to 1 teacher 20 or more. So
is there any other questions about this tuition thing? Okay. We're sorry that we have to do it. And it only will happen annually if students are leaving and going to other schools. And I don't think that this particular situation, this family, I've talked to Mama, and they're going to come here next year. She's going to try really, really hard. So that won't be an issue. One of the students will be going on to high school, and the other one will be in the 8th grade next year. So she's going to try to get the 8th grader here.
Part of the reason for the law seems to be to allow some flexibility where kids go to school. So,
school choice.
If you want to be the star quarterback at Kalispell as opposed to going to the Yak, you could go to Kalispell and do that. So,
It's all about school choice is what it is.
Okay.
Looking for a good school.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next item on the agenda is the annual resolution of intent to impose an increase or decrease in a permissive levy.
This particular one is for our building reserve fund. This levy has been going on for, this is year number 4, I believe. Our fourth year. I think it's been our fourth year.
I think it's more than that.
Longer.
Could be longer.
It's longer before I got on the board.
Okay, so it's been going on for quite some, probably 2020. Or maybe even before that,
like
in 2019. Okay, so
this
all came about also from legislation that has to do with major maintenance of Montana schools. And so they passed a legislation that the state has this box, and a portion of, to fill the box, the state pays this much and the school pays the other portion to fill up the box. And I don't know how much longer this is going to go, but it has been a lifesaver for this school. We used the money originally. It was used for working, helping with the foundation and those kind of things because we had matching funds. But to get down to it, this year, we start right here. I'm just going to read it to you, because that will tell you what we're looking at and what we're going to be using it for. Because we're required by law every year to post the increase or decrease in the mills needed and the impact across those four different price ranges of homes and what we plan on spending the money for, to use the funds for.
To save your voice, you want me to read it? Because you're doing all the explanation and you have a lot of
I don't have a hard
stuff.
I don't have a light copy of it.
I can read. I can read it.
Can you read that?
I can.
Okay.
It's annual resolution of intent to impose an increase or decrease in permissive levies. Be it resolved that as an essential part of its budgeting process, the Yak School Board of Trustees is authorized by law to impose permissive levies to support its budgets. The Yak School Board of Trustees estimates the following increases or decreases in revenues and mills for the fund notes below for the next school fiscal year beginning July 1, 2025 using certified taxable valuations from the current school fiscal year as provided in the district. Building reserve, estimate change in revenue, $44. Estimate increase in mills, 0.03, estimated on a $100,000 home. $0.4, estimated on a $200,000 home. $0.09 on a $300,000 home.
The emphasis is in the wrong spot.
Okay.
Okay. So a $6,000 home is 27
no.
cents.
Estimate on a $300,000 home of 13 cents.
Right.
Estimated on a $600,000 home, 27 cents. Estimated revenue from levy, $3,176. The impact base is above is based on the current certified taxable valuations from the current school fiscal year. The listed information is an estimate. If it becomes evident during the budgeting process that increases or decreases are different or not necessary, then Yak School Board of Trustees will make the changes accordingly. Regarding the change in the building reserve levy referenced above, the following are school facility maintenance projects anticipated to be completed at this time. Annual building maintenance projects, roof maintenance on all 10 roofs, staining of the school and teacherage, and security covering for windows. It will also be used for annual technology infrastructure maintenance. Annual maintenance contracts for network, internet, serve non-discounted amounts and devices if the technology levy that is on May 6, 2025. Election ballot fails to pass. Adopted by the Yak School Board of Trustees this 19th day of March 2025.
So I will say everyone understands that the italics part of this will not be on there or will not be included in funds that will or money that will be spent if we get our technology levy passed. If it does not pass, then we will continue, because last year when we set this levy, we included as part of that ability to spend funds would be for technology infrastructure and all those things, like the internet service, the non-discounted discounted amount for service and devices. So, just wanted everyone to be aware.
No comment.
No comment. Can I have a motion?
I move that we accept the resolution for the building reserve contract for levy.
I agree.
I concur.
Okay. All All right.
Question.
Yes.
Might not be the right place, so if you want to answer it after the meeting, that's okay. But if, so these are the resolutions of intent that you move to accept and then at second and third or whatever. What if the board did not? Are they always going to be resolutions you're going to approve because that's what the school needs? Or are there ever instances when levies come up where you're like, yeah, we don't move to...
We don't set up a levy.
No. A levy is set by the request of the board to fund the schools.
Okay. So you see the budget, you see where the needs are, this is how much we need, and the way the school gets that money is through the levies.
We have some that are called permissive and some are voted in levies.
Okay.
This one and the one before it are permissive levies.
This is one that the board can authorize.
Okay.
With that going to vote to the
budget. Oh, I see. Okay.
It's in statute.
And it's for the specific items that we're doing. And then the building reserve, like we said, we use that for technology.
Now so we are, because that's what
case,
we put on the laughter.
If this one will pass because it's been motioned and
yes.
accepted. Mm-hmm. So it passes.
Mm-hmm.
So is the technology one then, will that be a lower amount? Or that's what you're hoping to get, so you don't need the funds for that part of it in this.
Yes.
Right.
What we're trying to do is with the technology levy is take the pressure off the building reserve fund because it obviously, it brings in more money because there's matching funds from the state for it, but there isn't any matching funds for a technology levy. We are trying to keep from shrinking that building reserve fund to the point that if something major happens to the school, we cannot afford to fix it, and we would have to go out and get a loan.
Okay, so is this is for a school year, fiscal year. If that money is not used for, because we didn't have any major repairs,
it just sits there.
It gets there, and then it rolls over into the next year, so you have a fund available.
Right. There is a fund, a building reserve fund, that has a balance in it.
And then with the technology levy that's being proposed,
right?
In addition to this, why wouldn't that be rolled into the building fund levy? Just as, I don't know, I'm just asking.
Because it's...
Not every school runs a technology levy, because you can spend money from different funds on technology. But our funds are so tight across all of our funds mm-hmm. that there isn't any extra anywhere. And we put a huge dent in our building reserve fund this past year, mm-hmm. by having to use that money to support our technology infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we have to stop doing that. We just can't continue.
So I guess my question is, why wouldn't this levy just include that amount for the technology level if you get matching funds for it?
That's a real good question.
We're doing it as a separate item, allowing the public to vote on it as far as the technology, mm-hmm. because this is basically for the building itself. That's we're trying to make that category
to the building.
So here's the question.
Maintenance.
Go ahead.
If the technology one does not get voted in by the community, then this is where those funds would come for our technology.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. should that be voted on first? Because if it fails, then could you propose more money for this one?
No, you can't propose any more money.
Why?
For this
that's
one. Because, okay.
Okay. That's
all right. Because it is a set formula by the state.
Okay.
The state
set
the formula to calculate how much we are allowed to levy our community to get to our share of the full box.
Okay. That's
and we can levy up to 10
yes.
mils.
And it has to happen.
We are allowed to levy up to 10 mils.
Okay.
But the very first year that we did it, we did 10. Then from then on, we started just dropping it off because we didn't need that much money to fill our portion of the box.
Because the state was picking it up.
Because the state.
So over time, it continues to drop.
Okay.
The mill numbers.
Okay.
This year, it went up a little bit, and it fluctuates. But, I mean, when we first started, it was 10 mills. We just took the max.
So if it were 10 mills, then wouldn't that cover the technology needs?
Yeah, but we would really like to keep it separately. And you have, for this levy, you have to follow that formula.
Okay.
And you also have to have it done by a certain time, which we can't wait until after the technology levy.
Okay.
Can I ask a question about the technology levy? Will it have to be voted on every year?
No. You can choose how long you want to run, up to 10 years.
Okay.
And you'll see once we get to that portion of this that the board has chosen to run this up over a 5-year period.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was a good question, and it helps.
Bob.
Does this ever run out of money? Since you're stealing from Petey to pay Paul all the time.
That's what we're trying not to do, to answer your question, by using the technology levy. If we do the technology levy, then we're not having such a drain for the next 5 years on this fund. Because it's our only available outlet. Because as we've gone over in previous board meetings, we're kind of in a shrinking fund environment. And if you look at a large school, say Kalispell, they have a large budget and they can maneuver funds easier around. Well, we can trim a little here or do something there. We don't have that availability here because this is like a ma and pa operation. We're going to do without milk this week.
We don't have the flexibility of a large school with multiple funds because the funds that we have available to us are segregated out, and we don't have a safety fund, and we don't have a bus depreciation fund. Those funds, you can flex that money over to your technology, and you can flex that money over into your building maintenance, but we don't have those kind of funds. And yes, this may at some point come to an end. Depends on the legislature.
Yeah,
when the state says we have no more money to match for this building reserve program that we've been running for major maintenance, then that's when it ends. And we have no idea when that will happen. Or if it will ever happen. I mean, I don't know. It just depends. But for now, we have to take advantage of it and save as much as we can. And that's why we're running the technology levy, to take that pressure off of what we've been spending for technology items off of that major maintenance. Because if something happened, like the sewer blew up, or God knows what would happen in here, that we'd have to, replace all the plumbing, or what if the electricity just all of a sudden, just the building shorted out. We had to redo all the electricity in here. That's a big bunch of pinch of change.
Well, you would have the money for it, obviously.
Well, we're going to try and save as much as we can of that building reserve money for actually major maintenance items instead of technology.
I think the technology fund is a good idea.
Yeah, that is.
These are the
Do we have any other questions in regards to the annual resolution of intent to impose an increase in our permissive building reserve levy?
We don't have questions.
No questions. Okay.
Next item is the technology levy ballot language review and approval.
Okay. I think first thing that we need to do is look at... which is it? This one. This is a public notice that everybody got to see in on the Facebook page that breaks down how we came up with our need of the $9,282 per year over the next 5 years. This is what it's going to pay for. First, the biggest thing and the reason why we did this, even thought about doing this, was our school has involved in the E-rate program, and since 1999, this school has gotten a 90% discount on their internet cost, the service cost. So $910 a month is what this school would pay if we didn't have any discounts at all for our internet service. But because we have a 90% discount, we only pay $91 a month. Okay? Well, this year, because of our this program is based on poverty levels. So we have three families here. Two families are above poverty level, and two families are below poverty level. So, ergo, our discount in the coming year is only going to be 60%. So that number up there, $3,276, is the difference between what we pay this year out of the general fund and what we'll have to pay next year out of the general fund just for our internet. Okay? That's what that number is. Okay? Then we have our annual infrastructure and website support. We use Greg at All Systems Go. He is our IT person. He updates all the student computers. If we have issues or problems, he can come up here. He can come in remotely. And he charges us a flat fee annually to do that. That's $2,255
a year. How many times does he come up here to do that?
He doesn't have... He tries really hard not to have to come up here because he can do most everything remotely. There's a computer out there, and we just let him sign in. He can get to our server, everything.
This past summer, I took a bunch of computers down.
We take computers to him to lower the cost because on top of that annual fee, if he has to travel up here, then it's an hourly rate and mileage. So unless it's absolutely necessary, which we only had to have him come up one time this year, and that was to replace our network switches. That was it. So he's awesome. He's great. He does not like come up if he doesn't absolutely have to. He loves us.
He's
he gives
not
us
marketing.
A great deal. We get a great deal. I mean, he also does the same thing for the police department in Troy, and he charges them twice what he charges us. So he does us a great service.
Same thing for Sharon.
So then we also have our SEPA-compliant content filter annual licensing fee. Over 5 years, I went out and got a quote from him. So for 5 year... $419.18. That's annually. But we bought a license that's 5 years long, so that's only a one-time cost. Okay. So software, Adobe, $479.79 a year. Our school library software, last year or this year is $802.23. I have no idea what it's going to be next year because we haven't gotten a quote yet. Microsoft Office on my computer and the teacher's computer, and oh, the Adobe is on mine and the teacher's, is $229.99. So our plan is to replace two laptops a year at the cost of $1,640. This will give us enough to replace all 10 units over that 5 year levy.
They're already 5 years old, and so they've hit their usable lifespan. We're still squeaking what we can get out of them.
We take very good care of them. We don't allow the students to take them home. They're only used in the classroom under supervision. So, we need a tablet. The teacher right now is using her own personal iPad to use this beautiful Vibe board that we purchased with federal grant money. And so we really do need to supply the teacher with a tablet. I spoke with Greg down at All Systems Go. Craig or Ken gave me the list of units that are compatible with it. And Greg said we could purchase a Vibe, a tablet
that would cost us about $300, so $60 over every year over the 5-year period will pay for that. Classroom printers, there's two of them, one for the students and one for the teacher, and those cost, total cost for two of them is $600, so we divided it by five, so that's $120. So we need $9,282, which will be 6.92 mils, and these, it is a $100,000 home, the impact is $9.35. A $200,000 home is $18.69. A 28 or at 300,000 it is $28.04, and a $600,000 home is $56.08. All righty. So, does everyone understand that?
What is the Vibe board?
That's this thing.
Oh.
It's a cloud-based display unit used for, the teacher can go out and bring up all kinds of wonderful things on the internet for teaching math and science, for teaching lessons in the classroom. We can do Zoom meetings. I'm using it. It can be used to, this way, directly with this. We could have board meetings with Zoom.
And why does the tablet need to be used if it works with a laptop?
She can control it.
Because then she doesn't have to stand right here. She uses it for teaching classes.
It's not that big a expense.
You can do it either way.
I just wondered.
You can do it either way.
And this is mobile, so the unit that she uses to display from needs to be mobile as well, because when she goes into the science lab, she needs to be able to move the Vibe board into the science lab to do science lessons, science classes, or into the library if because that's where they do art classes. So it needs to be mobile.
Great tool.
Yeah.
We're required to have computers and all of this technology just to be able to for the students to continue doing testing because there's statewide testing.
And to be certified, a certified school.
Yes.
For so accreditation.
It's mandatory that we have this. People have asked in the past, well, why don't you just get Starlink? Well, because Starlink doesn't qualify for the E-rate program
discount
that pays a discount, and like we were getting our bill paid 90% of it by the state on the E-rate through the EL's computer system, but now it's 30% is what we're having to pick up, and they're paying 60%. So we're picking up more cost to run the same computers, this same internet system. But it's the only internet system we can have because we either had our option at HughesNet, which the school has used in the past, which had connectivity issues, and I can personally attest, and anybody who has used them, it doesn't stay stable enough as a platform. So you don't stay connected through the testing, so
you get
once you get bumped off,
start over
again on your test, but you know that doesn't work.
If you
well.
Can even get back in,
so and a lot of them do not allow that.
If you could get more customers for ELI through the community, would that go down?
I don't think so.
No,
we have a 5-year contract with them.
Yeah.
We had a 5-year contract, and we're into our 3 years
left.
3 years coming up, and the
board. The reason why we did that is because it was the least monthly amount, and we knew we weren't going to get service anywhere else any better. And another reason why we can't do Starlink is because everybody. It was some lady asked, "Well, it's $65 a month for a business account with Starlink. Well, we're not a business." We're a school, and it would depend on the bandwidth that what we wanted and the time that we wanted it, and even if they were E-rate,
But they're
eligible,
not.
They're not an E-rate bandwidth.
So we'd have to pay 100% of the cost, even if it was cheaper.
Yeah.
But there's no assurance as far as the business end of it how much that would cost.
I'm not sure that Starlink does any schools at all yet.
I don't think that.
The reason why I was asking that is because they offered the fire department a free satellite thing, whatever the heck they put in.
Who did?
ELI.
EL Internet, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they said that they would give the fire department, but because I wouldn't tell them Mark, they won't do it.
Okay.
It really does depend on
where you are in the valley, whether you can get the signal or not.
Well, you know where the fire department
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you
should. Not a problem. But I thought if you
but
had
there's
more
a
customers,
lot of people in the valley that couldn't. Like anybody on the South Fork can't get it because there's a hill.
Yeah, just put up another.
It might be over the long haul if they collected more customers in the valley that they might be able to offer a reduced rate, but
they wouldn't be able to beat Starlink.
I just thought that would be a possibility.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a good question. It's a good question. And the board in considering we look at all options. For this, we have to have it. It has to be paid for. Our budget really doesn't have room for that. There's nothing, you know, we're kind of, once we start paying out, we can only pay out so much. And since it's required, if we don't offer it, well then at some point, then the school would have to close. Because kids have to have it for their testing. They also, in today's market, they have to be able to negotiate through the internet, and it's just a fact of learning.
I was here when they were dealing with this whole thing. Mm-hmm.
And our dollar figure overall, Ken informed me that the dollar figure for our taxes is about. Total is about $56 per 100,000
yeah.
home value. Troy, which is our next district, if this school closed, your valuation is $170 per 100,000 in value. So that's three times more. So in my looking at it, if you spend a few dollars here, you're avoiding having to pay a whole lot, quite a bit more. You know, so you're looking at another $120 per $100,000 of value. So, to keep a local school local, this is what it's going to take. And that's what we've kicked around, and we've all talked about it. It's been going on in meetings in here for quite some time, and so that's why the board is proposing this.
And we're going to put it out to a vote. And this is the ballot language that I need to have approved. This will be the official ballot language. This ballot should be marked with the X in the square before the words "for the Technology Acquisition and Depreciation Fund Levy." If you wish to vote for the levy, or mark an X in the square before the words "against the Technology Acquisition Depreciation Fund Levy." If you oppose the levy. So the proposition is this: shall the district be authorized to levy the sum of $9,282 per year for 5 years and being approximately 6.92 mils for the purposes of purchasing, renting, repairing, maintaining technology equipment, including computers and computer network access, cloud computing services for technology infrastructure, platform software, network storage, security data, database, test environment, curriculum, or desktop virtualization purposes, including any subscriptions or any licenses, license-based or pay-per-use service that exceeds above the internet or other remote
networks to meet the district's informational technology and other needs, and the associated technology training for school district personnel. Passage of this proposal will increase taxes on a home with a market value of $100,000 by approximately $9.35, on a home with a market value of $200,000, approximately $18.69, and on a home with a market value of $300,000 will be approximately $28.04, and on a home with a market value of $600,000 by approximately $56.80. An increase in property taxes may lead to an increase in rent costs in your within the district. And that's the ballot above presents one option. It contains all information required to be included per 20-9-533 of the Montana Annotated Code. As long as key information is contained in the ballot, trustees are allowed to use their discretion in formulating ballot language for technology fund elections. Note, the proposition listed in approximate numbers of mills since taxable values and other information necessary to determine an exact number of mills are not available at this time, at the time of the election, actual mills will commonly differ from this estimate. So I had to use this year's taxable value base to get these numbers because I won't have next year's taxable values until the end of May, and the election's on May 6th. So I need approval of the board for the official ballot language for our new technology levy.
I move that we accept this official ballot language for the technology levy.
And I second that.
I concur.
Okay. So we're going to do one more thing just to help you guys, everyone, understand this. Before we go into the taxable or the total mills, which you'll see, which you see at the bottom. Which is, I think I have them at the bottom there. Did I do? Yeah. Okay. So this is the 4611, the mills needed, that are those total mills for everything that we're asking for this year, including the general fund. I'm using the data that we have now, which is pre-session. So, and also this year's taxable value instead of next year. So it's going to change a little bit. Hopefully it's going to go down some. If the state gives us more money, then it will go down. There's a couple of things that are happening in the legislature right now that will could give us a big shot in the arm that will lower the estimated property tax requirement to fund the general fund. So that will bring those mills down, the 21, the general fund base mill, 2171, and the overfund base of 12.32. So here you have the calculations that were made for, that we just went over here, of the tuition fund, 2.78. The technology fund, if you vote it through, and our building reserve fund. So overall right now, we're sitting at 46.11. This is going to change as we get our final data sheets from the state. But right now it is at 46.1. So if we compare that with this, this was this year that we're sitting in right now, was 41.74. were the number of mills that we asked you, the taxpayers, for to fund our budget. So it's not really all that much more. I mean, what's the difference? I wrote it down somewhere. I'll write it now. So,
while she looks for that, I talked to someone who wouldn't be there. And she said to me, it was was $269 for the paper yak. She says, if we didn't have yak school, she says, yours would be $104. And I know people in the back of that up here.
Can we send out a letter with the ballot that explains that?
You know, they don't know how
you may
how
think
we got it,
because it's always been that way that people are saying, why do we got to have this school way up here? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it cost a lot of money? And they don't realize that it'll cost them a lot more.
What a deal.
If they don't have this.
If they ask that question, why do we have to have that school? You're right, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm. What a deal. But I mean,
I don't know. I think maybe we could. I don't know if you can send it in the official ballot.
Maybe send it.
I can find out.
It's going to cost money.
Yeah. Are we allowed to lobby for on our own behalf?
I will find out. I will find out. I will get a hold of Nicole Thua at OPI. She is the lady that does our election check-in. She knows all the laws, and I'll ask her. Mm-hmm. Can we send a letter with that's inside the ballot, not in the ballot envelope, but inside that? Outside, because there's an envelope that the sealed ballot is in.
Just a four-year...
Just a little thing that explains this. Because this is what Troy paid last year in Mills. 128.16. Yeah.
Three times.
86.42 more Mills than we pay.
It's four times as much. You can get a voter list from the...
I'll have it.
You'll have it?
Yep.
Okay.
Once all this paperwork tomorrow goes to Melanie will send me my list of voters, because I got to start printing labels and getting my ballots ready.
Can anybody get that voter list?
I don't know. You'd have to call Melanie Howell. I know one year I gave it to... who did I give it to?
You might not
want to
say that on
record. Oh, no. It's fine. One year, it was the Women's Club, I think, because they were doing some kind of fundraising thing. And so, I mean, it's got to be public record.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think anybody can ask for it.
Yeah, I asked
You might for have it. To pay for it because of the Reduction in Paper Act or something. But yeah. It is public record.
Yeah,
they can make you pay for it.
True.
Yeah. No. In Libby, at the courthouse.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's at the courthouse annex on Mineral Street, the next street over from where the courthouse is, that little building next to the fitness center's next door. In there, and they're in the basement.
I don't think she's in the basement there yet. I think she's in the main building. Is she now?
She's down in the basement. I was there.
When?
A month ago.
Oh, okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, because she did move back into the main building for a while, so she's already moved her office back to the basement of that municipal building or whatever it is. Okay, so we went over these numbers, property tax requirements that we need to get to funding our budget for next year. So we know the number of mills, 2.17, 21.71, and 12.32 will be the mills for our general budget this year for now. I can't stress that enough. So next on the agenda, is everyone's questions answered about the general fund mills? Because we're going to move on to the spreadsheet, actually, which I don't have a copy to share. It's just, I have given you the general fund. Do I not have it up here? Well, this is it.
Where's my expenditure budget? This year's general fund bills are significantly less because of enrollment, the average enrollment. Because last year's it was like 39, and this year's it's
34.
39.4. Mm-hmm. 39.4. So is that because of enrollment?
Because enrollment, yeah.
Yes.
Because last year, and part of it could also be based on reserves and reappropriated funds. Because we reappropriated last year, and if we reappropriate again this year, we only reappropriated $3,687, which that lowers the mills. So this year, if we have leftover money, then that money rolls over to fund next year's, and which it'll lower the mills. That's
okay.
Why.
Okay. So
that is not part of this equation at that at this present time. Mm-hmm. These numbers.
So it could be even lower.
It could be. It will be lower.
Okay.
That's just right now. Okay. There's a lot of information that we don't have yet because of the legislature and also this taxable value. God, I mean. The taxable value is going to change, which is going to change the mills, because that's the number that we're going to use for calculating the mills needed to support the budget. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, Dave, where are we at?
We are at the assess the general fund budget mill levy for 25-26.
I think that's what we just did. We just reviewed
okay.
that.
We just did.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as everyone understands and there isn't any questions.
Application for indirect cost.
I will be completing that application for indirect cost and get it submitted. 21.46 is our percentage of indirect cost. For the ensuing school year. This month, these funds are what we can, what's the word I want? Request be set aside out of our federal grants for indirect cost pool. It pays, you can't take administrative costs out of a grant. This is one way that you can. You can just have a set amount, and it's decided by OPI, a formula that they use for every school that applies to be able to withdraw indirect cost funds, and it's based on how much of each grant's money that you spend. It's a portion, a percentage. This year, or for next year's grants, it is 20.46, and I will be submitting that application, because that money can, then we can draw it down, and then we move it into what's called the indirect cost pool, and it can be spent on anything that has to do with administrative costs. It's just a portion of the grant money that we can use to administer grants and whatever we have to do. You can buy a new copier for the clerk if you want, as long as it has to do with administration.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, then we'll proceed on with the clerk's report.
All right. Sorry, 1736. I have to keep track of the time on this recorder, so. All right, so I have canceled the hotel reservations for the summer conference. Last month I reported it was $600 and some odd, but I canceled the reservation because our clerk, the new clerk, will not be able to attend. She can go next year, the year after. But so that has been canceled. We already talked about the judge training. We also talked about the Google additional Google services update that needs to be done. And I wanted to remind you guys about the STARS Act. I want it to be in the minutes. Please take a look at that, House Bill 252. Okay. So let's go on to financials. We have a balance with the treasurer for February. We will start out with the expenditures for the month of February. I'm just going to do totals. The detail is there. We've got four pages of it. I'm going to go to page 4. General fund, $7,746.55. Retirement fund, $717.13. The reason this is higher is because you paid your last portion of your teacher's annual bonus, which was caused the payroll to be higher than it is in any other month. Miscellaneous fund, $3,736.37. Building reserve fund, $543. For total expenditures from February of $12,743.05. Revenues for the month of February. General fund, $6,948.42. Miscellaneous fund, $16.44. Building reserve fund, $77.86. For total revenues for February of $7,043.12. Cash reconciliation folded in half. Compare across to the cash report from the February financial reports from the county, and we balance across every fund.
I move that we accept the financials from February as reported.
I second it.
I concur.
Alrighty. So let's go on and go to March expenditures to date. They're all detailed out here. I will just give you the balance, the fund balances. $1,606.14 from the general fund. $841.68 from the transportation fund. $37.44 from the retirement fund. $8,309.15 from miscellaneous programs and fund 115. Fund building reserve fund, $601.96 for total expenditures for the month to date at $11,396.38. Then the next page is our general fund expenditure budget that we review every month. And we are sitting at, and this is really awesome for this time of the school year. We really only have how many more months? What is this? April, May, June. We got 3 months left. And we're sitting at 51.06%. So we've done an excellent job so far. So we will have that extra money there to do the shelving units for the containers and those types of things. We will have a added pressure for the next three over the next 3 months because we are adding an employee to the payroll. But there's plenty of cushion there. So you guys, you should be really proud of yourselves for reining the spending in there, because we've done an excellent job. Is there any questions?
Nope. Nope. You have a motion.
We've already moved.
Oh.
So that's all I have.
Any public comment?
Okay. I got a question.
Yes, Bob.
I'm sure everybody on the board on it. Since Artie's leaving, is there a replacement in line for him?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, as soon as he sells his house, but
when his house sells, he's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that could be 6 months, but there's no replacement or no. Is anybody that's.
No. Nobody, we really haven't put down any feelers. Is that something that you feel like we should do, Bob?
Well, since it took us so long to I won't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of, yeah.
And the maintenance man, that is, he's subcontractor for the maintenance stuff that he does. He is an employee for scrubbing the toilets and mopping the floors and mowing the lawn, which I would advise next year that they outsource the lawn mowing to a subcontractor and make it, the maintenance is subcontracted
you hire somebody that you can call and don't have to, you can have more than one person. And all you are hiring is a custodian, mm-hmm. somebody to mop and sweep and dust. And
we've traditionally done that inside the building, and then outside the building walls is maintenance. Custodial versus maintenance.
So next year, Artie mows the lawn and does the janitor work, and that is, he's under that umbrella. He is an employee of the school. Okay. Next year, I would highly suggest that you take away the groundskeeping portion and hire that out to somebody who does that locally. There's a couple, few people that do. I can think of three right now that you could hire mm-hmm. to do.
But does that hurt your ability to hire somebody? Taken away. Let's just assume they get 20 hours a week. If you take 10 of it away, it gives you...
Good point.
You know? You might not want to do that.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. I can visit with Artie and see what his druthers are as far as, like, for this year, for this summer, as far as the yard. And then we can also look at, start sending out feelers, you know. Artie's here until, you know, his property sells.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I was just thinking ahead that his property could sell tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Do you have somebody in a backup situation that can shovel or clean, come in tomorrow morning and clean? No.
Nice.
Okay. That was my question.
This is how there's something that you know, it kind of flows downhill and it always seems to, no offense, we all pick in, but it flows down on, it ends up in Dave's lap.
How long does it take to close on the house? Anybody know? I don't know.
Thirty days.
So we have 30 days from the time Artie says, hey. So 30 days, but there are people who
there are.
It's just tossed out there.
That are out there.
So it doesn't go unnoticed.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to run into the same problem.
There you go.
That you did with, you know, the low wages is being able, when you build your budget next year, to look at increasing that person's pay. Because, you know, who wants to come and work at the school for three hours, 4 days a week? For $17 an hour when they can go out and scrub toilets for $36 an hour.
Where can you scrub toilets for $36 an hour?
I don't know.
The prison.
The prison.
There are some housekeepers in Libby that charge $36
an hour. There's housekeepers in New York that charge $35.
Yeah.
There you go, $35 an hour.
Who's paying that? Holy moly.
business.
Why would I?
I'll scrub your toilet for 30 an hour. All of you. Lots of toilets. I'm a good toilet scrubber.
All right.
Any other public comment?
Seeing none, it's. Do you have one? Yes.
Me. I can hold it.
Okay.
Public comment? No, if you have a public comment, you need to say it now, because we're going to be ready to adjourn.
No, you can. I think it's a
Okay.
So it's 5:15. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.